Attention women looking for transformation. Are you overwhelmed as a stay-at-home mom? Are you feeling broken in your life and are saying, if I were only younger, I would have more time to pursue my dreams? Are you looking for a new identity? Here is great news for you. Introducing a woman-centric radio show, Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio helps you develop valuable life tools for knowing how to get your goals and dreams accomplished despite defeating self-talk. On this mental health, wellness, and inspirational talk show, you will get massive motivation, encouraging nuggets that point you to what you should be doing with your dreams, and much more. African Oscar winner and best-selling author Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock introduces her co-hosts, Marlis Triplett Sells and Maxine Holt Donaldson.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining the Southern Warrior Sisters, and we are the
Warrior Sisters, World Changers.
That's right. So this is awesome. It's awesome today because not only are we doing the radio show, we are also doing the TV show, and we're combining everything. And at the end of the show, almost at the end of the show, we're going to look and we're going to also add a Periscope so that our Periscope audience can ask us any question. Right, Wendy?
Yes, any questions.
So we're going to go around the table right now. We're going to introduce ourselves. And, of course, you know our guest here today is Wendy, the number one.
I'm claiming it.
People, the number one cross-cultural consultant in and out of Periscope. Out of Dubai. Dubai, everything. We talked about me going to Dubai already. So,
yes.
Don't be surprised when you all turn on your TV or turn on your broadcast, and I'd be like, wait a minute now. This woman doesn't look like she's in Nigeria. And she don't look like this is America.
Bring yes.
what you got up your sleeve right now.
Exactly.
I'm warning you all right now. So let's go. Let's have my sisters introduce themselves, and then we'll have our guests introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Maxine Holt Donaldson.
I'm Marlis Triplett Sells.
Don't be looking at me. I'll be introducing myself.
Yes. Hello. My name is Wendy Alexander. I'm a cross-culture consultant as well as a business strategist. I'm the owner of InspiringDecisions.com. I also help people travel and train all over the world in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, and other parts of the country. I am an international, I'm going to claim an expert.
Well, maybe I need to say mine too now.
Yes.
About
this.
Come on now. Y'all are just kidding me here. Okay, so you all know what I do. I write, I teach, I speak. And so my name is Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock. People call me your vision midwife because I help you to deliver your vision in writing and in film. Let me say that again. I help you to deliver your vision. Not only that, I also help you, more importantly, to know how to make money. And we all like that green, right? Money. Can somebody say money?
Money.
In different currency.
In different currency. Can I still?
Yes.
TM. Now, there were two things that we did that I gave them that we're going to be doing some T-shirts on. Hashtag, no more hustle. Hashtag, what was that?
TM.
So, we have to say TM with everything now. Yes. That we've involved Periscope into all of this. So, I leave that over to you now, the questions and everything, because I'm just going to watch you all and add a little bit.
Okay, so we're going to do like we always do. So okay. How has everybody's week been?
Great. It's actually been great, especially for me.
I know.
So it's been exciting.
You know, it's funny, though, because when we came in and I saw you in the bathroom, I just thought, like, okay, you're not next, so what's the deal?
I know.
Why do I have to introduce
it
you?
It seems like.
I'm just
yes.
like, wait, you're not next.
I know.
It feels like it. It feels like it.
I'm no longer a child. And this is why we always encourage that. Some of you know about Southern Warrior Sisters. This is what we encourage. We encourage you to use your life, use
yes.
your stories to change
yes.
other people's lives.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you have to have a selfless heart. You know, some of when we started, it was like, how many of us?
Six.
six of us. And it was weeded out. And I have to know that it's the Spirit that will weed it out to now.
Amen.
And now it's just great because you have to be selfless.
Yes.
When you're dealing with other sisters, you have to be selfless.
Right.
And if you're coming with a hidden agenda, if you see how the agenda was people like this and the Holy Spirit will say, and we show up and I'll be like, okay, somebody's big. They'll be like, there was one that was like, right? That was like, oh, I don't care. The sun might shine, the rain might fall. I'm not going anywhere, princess. Right?
The next day.
Oh my God!
A Judas piece.
I love you.
Yes.
A Judas piece. I was done, but I'm grateful though because that would have been too much to tell you the truth.
Right.
Having
worked
out would have been
all
worked
out.
That's right.
We don't see it. So
ourselves. So you as a guest, we've done our own little. Oh, how was your week?
Yes. My week was good and very, very busy.
Wow. Well, I know because you were constantly talking about you and John being somewhere. Like, oh my God, what is
John?
I'm very
busy
with my son.
We definitely had to make sure we get our
personal
handles.
When I saw that, don't even clap. Look at her clapping. Don't even clap. She said, you know what? Maybe if I support her, nobody will know that I need to.
I'm blessed, so
that's right. All right, let's hear her with the question.
All right. So we have our cross-cultural consultant. She is an international trainer and a business strategist. So we're going to bombard her with questions because we know that you guys probably have a ton of questions for her. We have a ton of questions for her, too. So one of the main questions is probably, what brought you to this path?
It's probably 14 years ago that I actually decided that I wanted to work overseas. I wanted to work internationally. And at the time, I wasn't sure where. Then I went to Dubai one day visiting my husband because he actually works overseas as well. And he said, I need you to come overseas. I want you to come meet me over here in Dubai. And I was like, I'm not going over there. I'm not going. And then so I went. It took one time, and I actually went. And from there, that's where it started. And I said that I will always make sure that one day I would actually work in Abu Dhabi or Dubai. I claimed it, went probably 4 months later, knocked on those doors, got my first contract in 2 days, and it's 12 years later, that's what I've been doing.
Awesome.
But I love
awesome.
Culture. I love culture and diversity. That's really
so you said something key. You claimed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I did spoken
into the atmosphere.
That's right. I did.
And that's something that Princess always talks about, and that's something that we base our lives on, is speaking things into the atmosphere if you really want to see it come to manifestation.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you're not afraid of it.
No.
But you speak it, and the more you speak it, then your spirit starts to align with it slowly
until
you have the muscle to move forward.
Exactly.
So what was one of your first trainings, and where was it located?
My first training was actually in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, okay.
And it was, what was my first? Oh, it was customer service.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
That was
my first.
I should tell you something.
I was doing a training on customer service to parts of the police department and the royal family.
Wow.
So you'd never know who the royal family is until maybe about the second day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could kind of filter it out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm actually training, it's usually to the royal family or parts of the government.
That was good. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your successes from that first training, and what were some things that you needed to kind of go back and retweet some things?
Oh, wow.
I'm learning.
Because of the culture. So number one, I thought I knew the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was I found that in Mr. Google,
when you want to Google culture. And so what I had to do was I actually had to learn to build relationships and talk to people and ask them about their culture and ask them what are the do's and don'ts. And I had to build relationships more than thinking about really the business. And so what I did was when I actually went back, came back home, I made sure that I had contacts for everybody. And what I told him was, I just want to learn about your culture.
That's right.
Because the culture really connects so much with
right.
the contract
right.
and things that you do. So if I didn't know the culture, then I could forget everything else. And so once I learned the culture, building the relationships, talking to them, the doors just opened up. It was all for culture. It had nothing to do with my MBA degree. I actually didn't even have my MBA. I just had my bachelor's.
That's right.
So it was 100% based on culture and relationships.
That's right.
And it's been that way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what they do in China too. Working in corporate America, we had a division in China, and someone came to speak to us from China, and he said that's what they do. They build those relationships, and they didn't like him because they said, "Oh, you're just, you know, you don't come and build a relationship with us. Your business is this. We have to learn how to build a relationship." So we're gonna exactly what you did in Abu Dhabi.
I really did. So I think everything is really 100% is because I still to this day, I study the culture. I would not actually even connect until I do that.
So how intimidating was it to, you know, be working with the royal family for your first contract?
That was very intimidating. So first
I mean,
of all,
that would be like the equivalent of working with the president.
You know, even just being a royal men and
That probably was the intimidating piece. First of all, I didn't know that they were the royal family. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell me. So I was already intimidated, number one, because I'm a woman. And I walked into the room with 25 men. Remember the culture.
That's right.
I was like, what are they going to think of me? And the guy had already told me I had a translator. He's like, I want you to understand, don't be upset if they don't reply back to you, or if they don't speak, or they don't speak English to you right away. They have to trust you. So it might take, because the training is for a week, and they said it might take actually 4 to 3 days, and maybe the next time for them to even speak English to you, right? Because they don't trust. And so, of course, that sounded like a challenge to me, right? You know what it is. So as soon as I walked into the room, we started talking, and then within 2 hours, I had them speaking English. Two hours, and they trusted me, and so then the intimidation for me was at ease because I was just like, okay, you really just want to know about me and my culture. And so we talked and we built that relationship before I started training.
So if you have to go to Hong Kong, because one of the Periscope followers is saying, well, I told you you'll do well in Hong Kong. So you have to go there. You would essentially do the same thing too.
Yes.
Study their culture. And I think that's what us Americans have to really understand and really get it that. When you go into other people's country, you really have to study that culture. Because
that's anywhere.
You know, some things that might be acceptable here might not be acceptable, or some things that you can interpret here, you can interpret something else to do it. I know in Nigeria now, under the Yoruba tribe, you have over 200 dialects. And so when you learn that language, you better know where you put that accent and that syllable.
That's true.
Because if you don't know where you put that accent and that syllable, you might just be cussing somebody out.
That's true.
And it might be the king in front of you, and you just cussed out the king.
That's true.
That's right.
That's major.
So it's major. So you have to, and the opposite happened actually with us, with me when I took about 20 men. But the good news was that it wasn't a curse, it was a bad word. It was a bad word. It was telling the king that I love you dearly, and it'd be kind of way. So it just wasn't so. The king was like, so everybody, he was looking at everybody like, why is everybody, you know, he's a man in front of the king saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love the king, I love you. And it's not like I love you, like, you know, that kind of. So everybody, the chiefs, everybody were looking at him like, what do you mean you love the king? What kind of love is, what kind of. And what he was saying is that he just had the obe, he just had a soup.
Mm-hmm.
And soup and obe. Obe is king, obe is soup.
Oh.
So he just went to the king and said, I love the Oba, I love the king, I love. So they're like,
wow. And that's what I have to do too. I have to really make sure when I actually speak Arabic that I'm very selective on what I say.
That's right.
And that's probably intimidating too a little bit. But I can understand it. I can understand it, but I can speak it. But I do take lessons as well.
Okay.
So that's
can you easy. Can you greet our
yes
in
yes,
Arabic?
Yes.
In
oh.
Arabic, like just
oh, assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Yes.
Michelle.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. I was ready to go.
Hello and no. You thought I did. Hello.
Yes,
that's right. We just caught her up, y'all.
That's right.
So you're also an author. I've seen the book From Corporate America to Entrepreneur.
Yes.
So where can people get that ebook?
They can actually get it on Amazon. Yes, you can actually get it on Amazon. I'm in the process of writing a new one, but that one is definitely on Amazon. Yes, thank you for asking that. So it actually is because I came from I used to work in corporate America years ago, so CEO, COO, and I was just like, I could do this on my own. I'm making everybody else rich.
That's
so
right.
I could be my own entrepreneur, do my own hours. Plus, with our lifestyle, my husband working overseas, I was like, we're gonna have to create something different. This is just not gonna work. And so that's actually where that book came from.
Actually, ask about that book and that ebook. That's some of your that was one of your services that you had.
Okay.
What are some of the other services that you offer now?
For other people.
Yes, for other people.
I do cross-cultural competency training for individuals as well as corporations. So a lot of times corporations will actually go over, like you said, to China and over to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. And what you have to understand is that there's a culture piece to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a $1 billion contract and make one mistake and it will be gone.
That's right.
So I usually work with people like that. And I also do training and doing business overseas. I have Entrepreneurship Now What, which is for new entrepreneurs. I do business plan reviews. So a lot of different business plans.
I have the passport program.
Yes, and the passport. Yes. And my passport
all
program.
In it.
Yes. 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 That's my elite program. That's like my resource hub.
Yes.
Because opportunities come all the time. And so I wanted a place where I can say that I train people, offer a certificate, and actually give it to people overseas. And so they also, so you all have a passport certificate to say, I was trained in this program. You know, this is from somebody who has been working over there. And so it's like a signature program that's going to have a certification piece to it.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, give your website where people can go and sign up for your,
yes.
your classes.
Thank you. www.inspiring-decisions.com. www.inspiring-decisions.com.
And you'll give that later on in the show, too.
Yes.
Give it several times.
Yes.
So, with you being a cross-cultural consultant, what are some of the obstacles that, I mean, I want you to share this with our listeners and our viewers, what are some of the obstacles that people easily fall into if they are not careful or they're not learned on the culture that they're trying to integrate?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And give a story after that.
Yes.
Okay. So, number one is the way you dress.
That's
right. Very important. Very, very important. As a woman, the way you present yourself. Also, it's a Muslim country when you're talking about the United Arabs. And so you have to make sure that you present yourself as a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is the dress.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the dress. And also, you don't talk about politics. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about sex, religion. And you also don't ask a man if whether he's married. You know, you don't get personal. You actually can talk to the women and ask them, but not the men. But the dress is the biggest thing. The dress is going to be the biggest because even when I travel to Saudi Arabia, I actually have to wear the abaya, which is, I always say it's like a coat, like a gown if you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have to wear that. I don't have to wear the hijab, which is like the scarf, but I do out of respect for the women and also for the country. So especially if I'm training in a room where there's men and there's women on the other side, I usually go in the first day. And I feel the room, always have the abaya on, regardless, okay? But I would have a scarf in my bag just to make sure, just if I feel like the women are maybe a little tense, you know, because I don't have it on, or the men are looking, so I might go ahead and drape myself.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to study it. But the story
I told you the limousine one.
Because
oh, I forgot.
Oh.
I had that too.
That was a good one. So that was when I first went. You remember I said you have to study the culture. So I thought I knew the culture. I don't think y'all heard this one. So I was so excited. You know, I got to Dubai and I ran to the taxi and I jumped in and I said, Assalamu alaikum. And he looked at me, no. La, la. He said, la, la, la. And I said, la, la, la. I was like, la. La means no.
Right.
And so what he was telling me was I couldn't get into the cab because I needed to get into the cab with the woman because I was by myself at the moment. So he was a man driver. And it was Dubai, but they had women drivers. Now, I saw them all in pink. Now, why I went here, I was just like, I'll just be a taxi. He was available.
Yeah, that's the American.
I had to get into the taxi with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened. So just that little bit of knowledge right there,
mm-hmm.
it could have made a break. But more so probably doing the trainings is that I've actually seen people come over. Even in Saudi Arabia, when I get off the plane, you'll see people who are actually don't wear the abaya.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is, they will actually make you wait longer in that airport line. They will have people go in front of you. So I was in the back of the line. They said, sister, come here. And it was a lady. They said, why do you keep pushing me to the side? And he's like, hush. So they just treat you badly because you're disrespecting them. You're disrespecting their country. So then they have to wait. They make them wait and wait and wait. And then so she's like, why are you doing this to me? And I turned around. I said, because you are disrespecting them. You need to put that abaya on, find one. So then... Right, but that's the reason why. And then as you train, a lot of people, I do wear pants when I train sometimes. You really have to have sense, but I always have an abaya with me just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually I'm a data person.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I wore pants one day. And the reaction was they were fine with it, but the next day when I came in through a bias, their faces lit up.
That's right.
Because
that's
I was
respecting
their culture.
That's
so
right.
Then the next day I added the hijab.
That's right.
And then it So then I'm just like, that's what it is. So that's what they really want you to embrace it. But they still respect it. I'm a Christian. They understand.
That's
they were just like, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Easter. They
mm-hmm.
send me things all the time. So they
mm-hmm.
still respect my culture.
Mm-hmm.
They
that's
still respect
amazing.
My culture.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
I think one of the, I was giving an example when we were at breakfast today about France. It's the same thing too. Like my sister went to France and she loved the bakery. She went to the bakery trying to get something. And she was telling them this American thing and they were looking at her like this.
Wow.
And she was like, well, doesn't anybody speak English here? And they were like, no. So she called me and she said, you know what, this France is frustrating. I think I need to come back home because nobody will get me this
that's
thing. I said, can you go back and just say bonjour?
That's right.
And she went back and she speaks French more than I do. But for some reason, I don't know what was going on with her. And she went there and she said, bonjour, and their faces just like, and they started speaking English to her.
That's
right.
Okay.
Same thing. I noticed in your picture, though, that you wear black a lot. So is that indicative of what the culture is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because one time I wore the hot pink abaya because I thought
mm-hmm.
I wanted to be cute.
Right.
Is that what Google told you?
Yes, because
Google
said I could wear color. And when I say hot pink, it is hot pink. And so I was just like, oh, that would be cute. I was like, I was looking cute. Then everybody started looking at me, and I was like, and then I looked at my husband, and I was like, okay, is this something you should have told me? I said, why are people looking? He's like, no, you're fine. You know what I mean? You look beautiful. I said, no, this ain't about beautiful. So what it was is that, yes, most of the time they wear black. So black is safe. So now I just wear black. I have one abaya that's a different color, and it's a dark gray. You see what I mean? But then I only wear that maybe if I'm going out walking around. But other than that, I stick to black. So, yes, anytime that you're traveling to the Middle East, just stick to
black. And you'll like that.
Well, stick to black is me. Yeah, just stick to black. It's safer.
It works well. It's like,
okay. Yeah,
it hides all the,
But it's nice to wear it. So that's one thing I say about that. So a lot of times people say, you know, I tell them, I said, what is it that when I'm in training, I said, are you willing to do whatever it takes to be international?
That's right.
You know, because my culture is Christian, but when I'm there, it's not that I put my religion aside,
mm-hmm.
but it's that I'm respecting it,
that's
you know,
right.
their culture. So, yes, I do, I make sure that when I train that I get in time to pray,
mm-hmm.
That I wear the abaya hijab. Sometimes they will ask me, will you come pray too? I pray,
mm-hmm.
yes, of course I'm praying.
Prayer.
You know, they didn't ask me to pray aloud. I still
mm-hmm.
pray my way.
That's right.
That's right.
But what is it that you really will do
the international? Like, what is it? You have to change the thing.
That's a big question for a lot of us now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we always say to do that. It's not about you preaching Jesus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's your actions, it's the way you live your life, everything about you. It doesn't make sense if you're kind of like a shady person,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, I still love you with the Lord.
Exactly.
I'll tell you to take it right back.
Right.
I want that to love.
Right. Exactly.
So many of us are like that out there where we'll be shady, and then we'll say, oh, well, Jesus loves you anyway.
Right.
So our lives have to show. I mean, look at our experience in London, too.
Right.
See, with the Muslim women.
Right.
They
right.
knew we were Christians.
They
knew. I mean, there was no question about it.
They even asked. They're okay with it. That was my next question to you. Did they ask you what religion you were, and
yes.
what was their reaction?
You want to know what mine was first, though?
Well, yeah.
What was yours first?
Because
at first, when I was in the room, and this is the biggest training class I ever had, and I had so when I say I trained some of the royal family, I also trained some of the court. So think of President Obama and the people who are right beside him. I'm trying. His first and second in charge of
mm-hmm.
Sheikh Zayed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I knew that he was a high level. I could tell by his rankings. And
gosh.
He was like this the whole time, and he wouldn't break a smile. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? See, are you going to do this to me? Nothing would move him. All of a sudden, he says to me, are you a Christian?
Ooh.
He said, are you a Muslim? No, this man had said, I was like,
well,
that
was
the sense of
my
business. They said, are you Muslim? And I said, no. And I was so terrified with him. He said, oh, okay. He's like, because you look just like us.
He looks just like us.
Are you sure that you're not one of us? And I said,
it's
I'm
true.
Not sure. I need you to. So I thought about it. I was like, oh, wait a minute. He opened up. So then as soon as we took a break, I ran over to him because it's about relationships,
right?
And so I sat down, and then after that, him and I actually have a business deal that I'm helping him build.
So the lesson there is not to be timid.
And if you're a Christian, say you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll respect it. They really will. They'd rather for you to go ahead and be honest. It's just that was the first time. And this
mm-hmm.
just happened
mm-hmm.
6 months ago out of the 12
wow.
years that I've been doing it.
Really?
So I was shocked.
Wow.
It never happened.
No, but you really, I'm telling you right now, you have the features. It is unbelievable. And in the northern region of Nigeria, they have the same Arabic thing. So if she was in Nigeria and she put that on in the northern region, she will
walk straight
through.
Mm-hmm.
They'll think she's Muslim. It's just.
And you know what he told me? It's so funny. He said, he's like, if you ever get afraid, he was just like, put the burqa on, which is, you know, you just only see he was like, just put the burqa on. You don't have to say anything because women are not supposed to say anything.
And
he was like, so just go around, don't say anything, and dress up. They'll never know who you are. Your eyes, you look just like us. So now I actually have a burqa.
Right.
So when I do actually feel like I'm going somewhere and I'm not sure, I actually fully dress and I only show my eyes.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know how. See,
I was going to ask you, how long did it take you to get used to that, to wearing the burqa?
I love it.
I love the burqa. It has nothing to do with being hot.
I'm so glad y'all said it has nothing to do with being hot. You know what it's about? I'm embracing the culture.
That's
and
right.
At that time,
right.
Honestly, all I'm feeling is what the women are wearing and what they're going
That's
through at
right.
that moment. I'm placing myself in a position
That's
so
right.
I never get hot. Isn't that
That's
something?
Right.
And it's not humid, so I don't think about the heat. I don't think about what I'm wearing. I fully embrace it 100%. I have so many hijabs and ninja caps and burqas and things, but I'm truly experiencing their experience and what it feels like because we have freedom, and that's what they'll tell me. They'll say, Ms. Wendy, how does this feel to be free?
Mm-hmm.
And then so I had to put myself in a position and see exactly what they're talking about to relate to them.
Right.
So, no, I love it.
So when they ask you that question, how does it feel to be free,
mm-hmm.
what does that evoke in you emotionally?
Like, oh, usually I'm a big baby. I start crying.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that because when you just said that, it actually made me sad just to hear it.
Yeah, so I said, what do you mean to be free? And then they said, because you can wear what you want,
That's right.
you know, and then so abundant. You know, so we just had open conversations. So they're real women just like we do. They have the same things going on in marriages
yeah.
that – We do.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, you know, there's a lot of things because of the culture that are hidden. But when you can find another woman to confide in, it's just like, oh, we can finally find somebody. So I really just let them talk.
They're my sisters. I had one this morning and said, I really miss you, sister. It's all of a sudden, they'll just send messages to me, and then we just talk, or we'll do FaceTime if they're going through something now. And it's almost like I'm their natural support that they can talk to them.
Well, let me just say something. Pattern Designer, we're giving a shout-out to Pattern Designer on Periscope because she said, this interview is so great. So
aww.
I just want to give a shout-out.
A shout-out.
All right. Awesome. You know what? We're at our halfway mark, so I'm going to have Maxine give our station break for us.
I wish I had the little script in front of me.
Oh, my God. I always look at it.
Yes. So we want everybody to join us on Facebook, go to Southern Warrior Sister Tribe, and like us on Facebook. And also go to our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and sign up for our blog page, and also join us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com.
Well, we have an IR person on our Periscope right now, and so we give a shout out to
Salam Aleikum.
Give your website again.
It's www.inspiring-decisions.com.
You might want to look up there.
www.inspiring-decisions with the S.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, and this is really for everybody that's listening, and even for us too. What are some of the greatest misconceptions about the Muslim culture?
I love that.
I mean, we hear over here, and I won't say any of that stuff, but we hear a lot of things over here, and a lot of the things are untrue. A lot of them are biased.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the greatest misconceptions that you can share with us to help, you know, to help bridge that gap, because you're a cross-cultural, you're a bridge. You're
so many. You see my eyes water because I get so emotional.
Yeah.
Because
no,
let me tell you the reason why. Let me tell you something. I feel safer over there than I do here.
That's right.
They embrace me more than any place in the world. And I, when I say true sisterhood, have to think, I only know most of the time the men and the women for 3 days, and then it switches to somebody new. Each week. So each week is somebody new.
Right.
So I only get 3 days to build this relationship.
Wow.
But that day that I build that relationship, it goes on for eternity.
Wow.
When I say that they send me messages, how are you and your family, Miss Wendy? How are you all doing? You know, it's always like a consistent. I wake up every morning, it's a message from someone.
Oh, that's
and so the biggest thing is that people, of course, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, like ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say, you know, and they'll talk about Muslims. All Muslims are not involved in ISIS.
No.
Half of them are probably not even Muslims.
They don't even like that.
They don't. And so I think that's the biggest misconception. Also, in the Middle East, where they talk about women, that, you know, that they actually can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain parts of the country, like Saudi Arabia, where they cannot drive, but they can vote. So things are changing.
Okay.
Princess Rima is actually working on that. But the other thing is that the women, they actually also think that women are not working, that they don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the women actually over the Middle East hold the largest government contracts for America.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The largest.
That's right.
Because they hold the largest contracts for America.
Isn't that something?
Also, the part about, I think they said that the Muslim men actually would disrespect women and treat women bad. They embrace me every single time. Actually, I'll give you a story about that. I actually, when I first went over there, well, a couple times, they asked me, they said, so, Miss Wendy, your husband let you come over there? And this is my face, let? What do you mean, let?
That's what I said, right? I forgot where I was.
And they just like, let? And I was just like, no, I do what I want to do and go where I want to go. And then I thought about where I was and I said, But they guess what they said? Oh, you're a strong black woman, Miss Wendy. And I was like, yeah.
Thank you, God.
But yeah, so that's the misconception. So my target also is men. So that's something new. So people wouldn't think in business that I would target men,
right?
They are my target because they're the ones, they're going to say yes, they write the contract. But all the misconceptions that you hear, I mean, Google is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you hear all the stories about there's bombings here, bombings there.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch the news very closely. I stopped because they said there was a bombing outside of where my husband lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then so I was like, the bombing is outside right now. He's like, outside where? I said, outside where you are? He was like, I'm outside. And I was just like, let me see. I said, no, you're not. Let me see. He showed me. I was just like, they just showed your building. He was like, I told you to stop watching the news.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he not hear about the little small little pipe bomb? So I'm like, 4 or 5 days later, it was there, but it was so tiny, and they made it seem like it was this big explosion. So I don't watch the news.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't watch the news.
But it's good. I mean, when you look at even Nigeria too, you know, with all the things that you hear, and then you get a Delta
mm-hmm.
from here. And you'll be the only black person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you said that.
I
yeah.
said, wait a minute, where are my black people here? They don't want to vote because
they're scared.
They want to
we're
scared.
Here. That's right.
You know why?
That's right.
The other ones are feeling the face of things.
You know,
it's so funny.
I travel on 9/11. I travel on the day with something.
That always happens to me too. And
yes.
People remind me that you know it's 9/11.
I travel Christmas. I travel the day that something happened, I think, in California where they had somebody from Saudi actually came and bought a wife and they did a school bomb. I traveled that day. But guess what? When I got overseas to the Middle East, it was peace and quiet because they filter their news.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
Like, what's the point of anxiety?
That's right.
Why there's
well,
no different firing, there's no alarm, there's no alarm.
To tell you the truth, though, I think we need a little bit of some filter here.
Yeah,
this is something we've taken it to another level that
right.
I wouldn't mind a little filter for the sake of our
it's
children and generations. I would not mind it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one situation that happened when I was in Nigeria, and myself and Yolanda, a friend of mine, we went to visit someone who had just relocated. He used to live in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and he relocated home. And we went to visit him, and so he had some other visitors, and we were talking about how what is going on here that we were on Delta, and we were the only black folk on Delta going to Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And he said, laughing, and they said, well, that when he first came, he had a situation on the streets in Nigeria, Lagos, where he saw this white man running and said, oh, you know, he said, yeah. And so they were talking, and they happened to mention black Americans, and they said, oh, no, that CNN that they're watching is just good for him. So he looked at him, so what do you mean by that? He said, oh, that's fine. Let them put you to watch that, because the day they realize that they should come back home,
mm-hmm.
that's the day that our contract finishes. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
He said that to him. That the day they realize that, because everywhere he goes, people are always asking him, where are our black men and women? We want them to come back home. He said, but when they realize that, then all these things that he's enjoying, the drive-by, it will be over.
Mm-hmm.
So, that time, just like you said, we have to really close our ears. That doesn't mean things are not happening.
No.
But you know what? You can be in your own house and somebody can come and bug you right there, too.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You have to be careful.
You can't live in fear.
If God has called you to a place, then you're going to
you know, go regardless of where
you go.
And then also, it could happen here.
It can happen.
I'm still traveling.
Look at
how you're going. Honestly, if somebody could tell me it's going to stop me from going overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I train people, I tell them, I was like, you have to almost be fearless. Like, you can't listen to the media. You can't. So that's why I do the first segment of training and doing business overseas before you get to the passport.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you all know this, a lot of people who took training doing business overseas didn't make it to passport.
Right.
Well,
but I intentionally did
that.
Right.
Really?
Because,
yeah.
But it's set up like that because everybody is not for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Right.
And it's okay. And so why should I take your money for a passport program and then you get in there and say, I really don't want, that's not fair to you either,
mm-hmm.
or me. So that therefore I have, I have a filter in between. To say, this is really what you want to do. So I'm training and doing business overseas. I teach you strategies to build your business. And we talk about the culture to see if you're really, really ready
mm-hmm.
to do that. And then you move to the passport program.
Right, right. Mm. But there needs to be that filter because, you know, like you said, people think they want one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when
that's
they
right.
start getting the information, the real information, they realize, that's not really what I want. That's not what I thought. And that gives them that opportunity to pull out.
Exactly. And also because the passport is my baby. That's my resource center. So whoever lands up in there, trust me, if anything, if there's opportunities that come, I'm going to look to my passport program. I'm not
mm-hmm.
looking anywhere else. So I can say, oh, there's an opportunity for your business. Oh, here. So it just makes it easier for me.
Right.
You know,
because
at the end of the day, all I have is my name.
We need to throw some writers in there, too.
But what we're getting to throw the writers. Oh, that's not my language.
You just said I drunk it like that.
Yeah,
and
I said yes. Yeah.
Oh, you got it. They got
the
help.
They got the help.
We recommended her. We recommended her last night as well.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You're gonna be getting some calls.
Exactly. Oh, we did that in class.
Oh, yeah. You didn't tell me that.
You don't tell me either. I don't know
you
that.
You can have to listen to the replay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm listening now.
No, this is not the replay.
I got to listen to the real replay.
You got to sleep. You got to push me to sleep. Oh, come on. I said, you know, I woke up and I was like, I woke up for a minute because I was, I'm telling you all.
You said you were saying the same thing.
There was one woman that was saying something. I said,
website is www.inspiring-decisions.com. And so you actually take training in doing business overseas in the cross-cultural competency. Actually, it starts August 1st. August 1st. So you have time to get into the training in doing business overseas in cross-cultural competency. Passport starts September 13th.
They're probably going to see you
No, I was going to say, that's actually a bonus. So actually, it depends. You know, somebody said hashtag where's Wendy. That's the truth.
Yeah.
So with this class, because it's virtual, we might be training in Saudi Arabia, London. It could be anywhere on this next go round. But this is the thing also. You actually get to see me live in these training classes, right? So it's one-on-one done by Zoom. After this, it probably will not be live. It will probably most likely be an e-course. So I would say sign up
now. It will. Take that for my new house.
It will. I have to do that.
Y'all are killing me in that class.
You know what? The next question I have is a very important question. I know princes would like this too.
Oh,
because once I got with the sisterhood, I found out how important this is. Mentorship.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
So do you have mentors now that mentor you?
I do. I have mentors and I'm mentee. I do both. I truly believe I have over 30 years of mental health and substance abuse experience with nonprofit too. So I do a lot of working with youth. So I have actually teenagers. I have interns that I actually bring onto my team because I actually want to empower them to go international. I think if you start early, I'm going to say TM early because I actually have a program coming out for youth. It's called Book Bags to International. From Book Bags
Great.
TM. So I definitely do. I have several mentors.
Well, these are your classmates.
She's my mentor, too.
I heard you say something on one of your broadcasts.
Okay.
It was on Periscope about mentors, and you have so many, and then it went quickly to the next question. That's why I wanted to bring this up.
I do.
So ask you, how many mentors do you have now?
So I have Princess and
They're
in different areas. So because I do mental health. So I have one for mental health. I have one for probably four. I do four. It's about four.
I have four, too.
Exactly.
Four.
So that's
four. I have four, too.
I'm asking this question because I think someone brought up, do I need a mentor or one mentor, or how can I find one? And you said you need several.
You have to align.
And even branding, like you should have branding mentors. You should have, it's a variety. You should have a mentor in all parts of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, not just because everybody thinks different, too. I'm a belief in personalities. I'm an executor. Mm-hmm. And so you all are process. So you all match well for me. So usually if somebody's a mentor, either they're going to be aligned with me. She's probably the only executor that's very aligned with me as far as everybody else's process. Because I have to have that balance. It might slow me down.
Right.
I have to have that. And what happens is that.
That's so funny because she has to have that.
Right. We know she's doing that for her.
She's probably the first person that's just like me. I mean, we are so much alike, y'all. It's ridiculous. Like from eating to drinking.
That's right.
I knew that was going to be a good relationship for her to come here for a whole week because they want to do nothing but work.
They became one.
You're going to go to the bedroom and say, okay, I'm going to sleep.
Where
and then we send messages.
Where
like,
I'll be quiet.
Okay. 15 minutes left. We're going to sleep. Okay, 30 minutes left. I'm still there. No eating, but TV. You know, most times you go to.
We haven't even watched TV.
It's important, though. I think people need to understand when you actually, when you are serious about your business, and I consider this like
a
mastermind.
I really enjoy it.
So, you know what people do? They want to travel, and they say, well, let's go tour here. Let's go visit there.
I didn't want to leave.
She was like, well, I don't need to go anywhere. I just need coffee.
That's
take a shower.
Right.
Let's get this.
Yeah, we're fine. The whole
thing. You have to be serious about that. I think that's when people.
Right.
They miss that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about TV, watching reality shows.
That's right.
I don't even know what.
We haven't watched TV.
And we haven't turned it.
We haven't.
Oh, where are the TV?
I just said, you sit here. You and I need to sit there.
And we said we're gonna try to sit there tonight.
We're gonna try tonight.
And that's what we said.
And then you get to working anyway, and you don't watch anything.
That's what you love for everybody to do their passions. Because when you do your passion, I mean, that doesn't mean you don't experience problems along the line.
Exactly.
But you are still confident that, oh, you know what, you're doing what you love to do.
And you forget the days. Like I did
the other
day.
Monday, Friday, Tuesday.
I don't.
Did you
hear what I did?
That's true.
I went on Periscope, and I said, today is the last day to sign up for training and doing business overseas.
Right.
I was all excited. Yeah, so later that night, I said, it's Thursday, it's not Friday.
I really am smart. I'm a smart brother. I promise you I am.
Oh, my goodness. But that's so funny because she's a taskmaster.
Yes.
And
we
have come to find out that you are too.
That's why I'm very old. Yeah, I can let you all in capable hands.
www.inspiring-decisions.com.
Oh,
www.inspiring-decisions.com.
Well, they say we're all lovely ladies.
Oh, thank you.
You did a great job. So
thank you all so much.
So what would you guys like to know? What would you like to know? We're talking about cross-cultural opportunities there. So let me ask you, are there opportunities? Are there great? Because there was one person yesterday that was saying something in your class.
Oh, that's right.
I was saying that somebody, can you?
Yes, so in one of my classes, someone had said that they closed, that the contract had ended for teachers over there.
Oh, yeah.
And because of the oil. And so what I said was, is that I actually, it could happen. I don't know if it did happen. But even if it did happen, there's so many other contracts and things that you can go off or after. And the other thing I say is also make sure that you don't limit yourself to one country.
Right.
Don't limit yourself to one country. That's the best thing to say.
Okay.
But also, when you're international, you can have, you know, here we have one job and we stick to
right.
International, you can be a shoe salesman, to doing makeup, to being a professor. You have so many, so you can have like a whole, I say, multiple streams of income.
Right.
That's
right.
What it's about.
And you're also talking about the area. It may have been the area or either the
facility.
Right.
Or anything, but there's schools, they have to still teach, so there's going to be opportunities there.
Oh, it said, is it easier to get contracts for single male women there?
It doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter.
Let me say, if you're talking about Abu Dhabi, Dubai, listen, that's the place where we are treated like queens. We are treated like queens. They love
they
us.
Love that.
We are treated.
So it doesn't matter if you're...
I can give them a number and they just say, okay, Miss Wendy. They don't even negotiate.
That's right.
That's what I love. They say,
no,
you're worth Miss Wendy. That's what they say. No, you're worth Miss Wendy.
Well, we need to
know. You know, that's good advice for everybody. That's good advice for everybody.
Now, how many minutes do we have? Because somebody asked a question.
What type of healthcare business opportunities are they available?
That's a good one.
Sister, you're talking about healthcare? Everything is available because it's all broken down. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me? If you are a nurse and you want to start a pharmacy there, if you want to start a small clinic there, everything is broken. Do we need to apply for a visa to before going? Yes.
In the UAE, so that's the thing I teach in my training and business overseas, is that for the UAE, yes, you do have to have a visa. Have I ever paid for one? Absolutely not. If you're asking me to come somewhere and provide a service to you, then why should I have to pay for my visa, right?
Right.
Now, when I do go to Saudi, I actually negotiated that too a little bit with my husband's job, so I didn't pay for that either. So I do. Yes, you do have to have one for Saudi Arabia. I have a 5-year visa. It's very difficult. So also in that program, once you're in the passport program, I do. I have someone that you can work with that actually will help you expedite your visas. So I have all those connections. So it makes it an easy process.
So what about Nigeria?
Well, with Nigeria, too, if you're American, of course, you need passport. Yeah, I mean, you need your visa, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have visiting visa, and they also have, if you want to really work in there, you have that.
They have that, too.
Yeah.
So always get your passport. I need you all to get your passport. That's why I need to be in your class.
Yes.
You're online. She's in my class.
Okay.
At least get your passport. If you're even thinking about doing international, don't wait to get your passport. You have to claim something.
Like some people
claim it. Okay, listen. You have to claim it.
Like some people who wear them for her passport.
I heard you talk about these. She told me she drove somewhere. I was like, okay.
That's right.
This is the thing. I want to get your passport. Just get your passport. Because, listen, if you say, I want to be an international
The first step is to go ahead and get your passport.
Have it, right? Then next, get a global entry.
I'm doing that.
Yes, because I don't have time to wait. I'm going to have patience. Okay. So the global entry is like the TSA with but there's no one in the line. No one's waiting.
Nigerian.
Yeah. You definitely want to do global entry.
We're all doing that. We're all doing that. They walk. We got them. They have no idea. I feel like we're being threatened here. I don't see some of the global entries are.
Well, it depends on that. Sure, you got to talk to
questions.
I have relationships. You have to be in relationships in the airport. And so guess what I say? They say, hey, Miss Wendy, we haven't seen you in a long time. And then they open up that extra little gate. Look,
that's
it just
right.
depends. You know, you
that's
have to
right.
have relationships.
That's right. Now, somebody did say they wanted to know the order of taking your classes. What is the order?
Great question. So you have to do training and doing business overseas and cross-cultural competency. That is the first thing that you have to take. And honestly, I didn't make it that it was a prerequisite for the entrepreneurship now what, but I'm getting ready to. The reason why is because anything that you do, involving international, you need to know about the culture. It doesn't make any common sense
to move
forward. That's right. So you take those classes first. That's one class for 6 weeks, and then the passport training program is 10 weeks. That's the order. So we have fun.
Entrepreneurship with now what? How many? Is that just one day?
No, that was 10 weeks.
That's 10 weeks.
That's 10 weeks. Okay. So what I do is I'm a data person. So I found out when people were in the passport class that they still needed some foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about the business plan. I talk about marketing. We talk about websites. So I'm taking them back, but I'm adding that international piece in it because I need entrepreneurs to understand when you first start your business,
mm-hmm.
just go ahead and add that international piece. You're missing opportunities. Also, I don't care what you do. If you sell shoestrings, you need to have an international market plan.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Import, export. So I'm teaching them as entrepreneurs is that the day that you start your business, you just add that international. Think global. Always think global.
Right.
Stop thinking global.
Right. Let me throw this in real quickly. Talk about the virtual piece of that.
So a lot of times what I have is people, I have a lot of introverts. I love my introverts. And also I have people because of the news, they'll say that they're scared, right, to go overseas. And so I always say, listen, okay, that's fine, but you still need to have an international piece in your business. So I teach them how to have virtual contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So I have virtual contracts. You can have a virtual contract just being an ESL, English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a certification.
That's right.
Then you're international, you have virtual contracts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I teach you that virtual piece. So actually there's a course that I'm actually developing now just based on virtual business, doing business internationally virtually.
That's awesome.
Because the other thing is, because in the Middle East, you know, Ramadan, and then they have Eid, right? So during that downtime, I wanted to be home. I knew this year, I'd already planned, I needed to be home because my son was graduating, my husband was coming home, and so we just really wanted to spend time in America. So I worked on my virtual contracts. I had them in place. So I was still making money overseas.
Mm-hmm.
It was just done virtually, so I don't have to be there physically.
Wow. See, that's the thing that people need to realize, that
that's
there
right.
are so many avenues
that's
and
right.
different ways that you
that's
can
right.
take
yes.
to get it done.
That's right.
You
yes.
don't have to always be there in a hurry.
No.
I think that holds a lot of people up, too.
It does. Yeah.
And you have control of how long
you're there. Because not everybody has to be there.
Right.
And there are times it could go between two weeks.
You
make
it right.
have
control of that,
you know.
Right.
You have control of it. So now, I mean, I used to do a week, and that flight, 16 hours coming back, so then I started 2 weeks, and I was like, okay, I just got to do a month. It's not working for me.
Yeah.
So usually the minimum I'll do is a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you opened my eyes to that last night when you said, aren't you doing virtual? I didn't even put that in my business plan until you said something about that last night. So that got me to thinking. It kind of stumped me. I was like, I didn't even think of that. So I learned a lot in your class.
Customer service.
Yes.
They outsource it all the time.
Yes.
That's right.
And the first thing, now this is a nugget for you all right now. So the next time you are doing customer service, ask them, what country are you in? I do it all the time. They hate me. I know they do. Because I'll say, okay, you're calling about a product. Well, what country? Well, tell me a little bit about their culture. So how long have you been working there? So what exactly do you interview them? I did. You're on the phone for a whole hour.
I will randomly call people.
I will. Like HSN, customer service. I ask them what country are they in, and then I learn about the culture.
Yeah.
Then I end up building relationships, and I learn. And sometimes I actually have a virtual contract coming out of that.
That's awesome.
Because think about it. If you're actually outsourcing your customer service, really, all I got to do is get a proposal to that company.
That's a nugget. HR departments are really phasing out in a lot of professions now. That is sourced out, customer service.
So if you want to start a virtual healthcare business virtually, first of all, you'd have to take training and do a business overseas and cross-cultural competency. And then that's
I'm hearing a little bit about virtual healthcare.
Address, multiple accounts. What is it?
Because virtual healthcare, you can do electronic, like.
Do electronic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Case management electronically.
You can do that. That's possible. So this is the thing people get wrapped up.
Don't dream it.
No, this is the thing, and they need to create it.
That's right.
Create your opportunities. You know, anything that you do, like I said, I'm being serious. Honestly, if you had shoestrings, then you can actually make your shoestring company be virtual. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to have to know the process and the strategies.
That's true.
To do it.
Well, we got to wrap up because we have 2 minutes left.
That's right.
2 hot minutes. So give us your last wisdom nugget, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, so here we go. This is it. You ready? And this is TM before I say it. All right. So,
yeah,
this is it.
culture before contact.
That's right.
You risk your
contract.
See,
I learned that.
That's right. That's my nugget. Because if you try to overstep and not study the culture or learn the culture, and I'm not talking about Google, really learn how to build relationships, then it's going to you're not going to be successful. I'm just going to be honest. It's not going to work.
Now, you wrap us up. You guys hold on. Just hold on.
All right, you guys hold on. We want to thank you guys for joining us, all of our listeners online, all of our call-ins, and all of you joining us on the TV. So thank you so much to Wendy Alexander for being with us yesterday.
Thank you,
Princess Wendy Hancock. Thank you to my sister Maxine Holt Donaldson. I'm Marla Stripler Sells. We are the Southern Warrior Sisters, but we are the Warrior Sisters World Changers.
Love it.
And we love you guys. God bless. See you until next time.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.